The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Is signing Antonio Brown what's standing in between the Seahawks and the Super Bowl? And a breakdown of this dude, the essential breakdown of the dude who wears a glove to a game only to throw it on the field celebrating a home run catch? What's up, guys? Let's go.
Accident.
Where does Adonde stand on that? If you are older than a Little League player, do not bring your glove to the park. Simple rule.
He caught a ball.
If there's a trademark 2020 Tampa Bay Ray win, it kind of looks like last night. Brandon Lau produces, got the pitching. If there's a trademark 2020 second guess, it's the Dodgers' decision to go with the bullpen game in game two. The series is now even. Let's start with that. Around the horn, Clinton Yates. Did the Dodgers err? Should they regret going bullpen last night?
I don't believe so. Look, when we first talked about this game yesterday, I think that all the panelists would have said if the Rays are going to win any game in this series, it's going to be the game that Blake Snell starts. And so Doc takes a chance in that situation with an off day coming up in order to realign his staff, and I don't have a huge problem with that. The issue is that when you've got guys like Gonsolin and May who can throw 100 miles an hour, it doesn't matter when big league pitchers are barreling you up and taking you out. That said, it also took a fair amount in order for the Rays to win this game. Kike Hernandez makes an error at second base, which should have been a double play. They end up getting a tough non-strike call on Choi, who then singles to come around and score. So overall, it was kind of one of those garden variety World Series games in which the better team struck first and struck hard, got on top, you lost it.
Listen to the man, born and raised in Washington, one of these garden variety World Series games, you know, Washington. So the reigning champs, so in tune with that. Tim Kalischa, do you believe LA erred in going bullpen game two?
Not really, because on one hand, I also think game two is kind of the throwaway game. And there are some managers
okay.
who
believe that. That's a game. The Texas reporter. What are these throwaway World Series
throwaway
games?
Throwaway game. You need game one and you need game three. Game two, not so much. I'd explain the math, but it'd take too long. Now, here's what's embarrassing. The fact that the Dodgers don't have four quality starters that they can roll out for a postseason. With their resources, with their $225 million payroll, that they have come to this point where they only really trust three guys to start. They got nice pieces in the bullpen, but this was kind of a mess.
That's what's embarrassing, not minus 4 points. That's the Dodgers not having a four starter. That's embarrassing. Frank Isola,
under par on the
did
front.
L.A. err?
Exactly. It's apparently a throwaway show for Tim on this one. You know, Clint, you cracked me up. You're kind of giving all the reasons why the Rays were so lucky to win. That's because you had the Dodgers in a sweep.
I didn't say they were lucky. I said things came together.
Oh, but you made it sound like, yeah, came together because they're a really good team. They had a great record during the regular season. Here's what I would worry about if I were the Dodgers. When you look at Lau, who was 6-for-56 prior to last night. He gets two home runs. Their offense finally came to life. Puts a lot of pressure now on Walker Buehler in game three.
Bob Ryan, can we still drill down on this question? Do you believe L.A. erred in going to a bullpen game two of the World Series?
No, because this is the established way baseball is being played now, number one. I don't think so. There's any problem. It's just the way it is. I think it's not exactly, you know, worrying too much about nothing here. They know what they have to do. They know what their resources are. They know how to go. They're going to have Kershaw ready in game five. They're going to have Buehler, who may be their best pitcher, going tonight. And 1-1 is not. What's 1-1? 1-1 is fine. You know, all right, now we're down to a best of five. I don't make all these apocalyptic pronouncements about the importance of any game other than if you're down 0-3, you better win four. And if it's 3-3, okay, it'd be a good idea to win seven.
And of course, today is an off day. It's the travel day of this series. Right, Bob, talk to us. You know this Tampa Bay team better than anybody on this panel. How they even the series, and who should feel better? It's 1-1.
Oh, I think that the Rays should be feeling better for the very simple reason that I will go so far as to say they're playing with house money. Maybe not in their own minds, but in the eyes of the world. There is zero pressure on them outside of whatever exists in that Bay Area, in that Tampa Bay area, to win this thing. It's been the L.A. Invitational from the start. They have all the pressure. They have the weight of history on them, not the Rays.
Tim Kalishaw?
No, I mean, the Dodgers are, they would love to have been up 2-0, obviously. But, I mean, they got Walker Buehler twice. They got Kershaw in game five. They have the bats. They made it a game. If Chris Taylor gets on base, Mookie's coming up as the tying run in the ninth inning last night. So I don't think they're worried about
where he goes.
You know, Tony, it reminded me a little bit of Andy Pettit starting game two for the Yankees, how important that is. Yesterday, I have a left-hander out there. And now for Tampa, this is why they should feel great. They got Charlie Morton going in their next start. He's been lights out since the playoffs
started. I was about to mute Frank for making a very predictable New York reference, but Andy Pettit, such a good-looking guy. How could you mute a guy for bringing up Andy Pettit? All right, I know we've been horned, but the fan who caught the home run. Your boy, Clinton Yates. What's the deal with your boy? Why is his glove flying off his hand? Why does he kind of look like Robin Williams? Did a Rosarena break protocol by throwing it back?
In the scouting report there, that's like a 50-grade receiver of the ball. Does not receive it well. Bad transfer on that. Come on, dude. Don't be bringing your glove to the ballpark when you're that old of a man. What are you doing?
Everybody wants it. Kalishaw.
What?
I honestly think he was just like, you know, celebrating, probably trying to make a fist with that glove hand, and he forgot his release point.
Yeah, it was a little too well, high there. I don't know how you forget you're wearing a glove in your head, Isola.
I seem to remember a Halloween show on this show where someone came dressed as the head coach of Michigan. He brings a glove to the game. You bring a glove to the game, and he caught a ball. What's wrong with that? It doesn't matter how old
you are. Bob Ryan.
Good play by him. Hold the glove.
Doug Flutie once caught two foul balls in a game, bringing his glove to a game. Two. So I have no problem with that part of it. They tried to sell us that it slipped off his hand, but that's a hard one.
Yeah,
to
I'm not buying that either. I'm glad you said that, Bob.
If it was underhand, but it was, and it went too far for that to happen.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
We've been horrible. We'll move on. Wide receiver news in the NFL today. Looks like the Baltimore Ravens and Dez Bryant are maybe inching closer to coming to terms. Practice squad and beyond for Dez Bryant in Baltimore. Josina Anderson reports Baltimore, what she's hearing right now, not interested in Antonio Brown at the time. And that gets us talking about the Seattle Seahawks. Pete Carroll last night, SiriusXM Radio, excuse me, talking about Antonio Brown. Quote, we're there, we're in it, it isn't settled yet. Brown's 8-game suspension after sending threatening texts to a woman who accused him of sexual harassment just about to end, so he will be available next week. Tim, does it make sense for any of those teams to go after him? And if who specifically, if you believe so?
You know, I just don't know why Seattle wants to do this. The DK Metcalf is a great young talent, and Lockett's an excellent possession receiver. So Antonio Brown's not going to be the main guy there. Maybe they think, with that being the case, he can come in and just be Antonio Brown and not be the ringleader of some circus like he tried to conduct at the end of his days in Pittsburgh and then in Oakland and then in New England and everywhere else he's gone. So maybe a little bit for Seattle. I don't want him if I'm Baltimore or somebody who really needs a number one receiver, because if you elevate him to that status right away, I think you're asking for trouble.
I don't think there's a scenario in which you can bring Antonio Brown on and not have him try to be the main guy and not be the leader of a three-ring circus, because that's what he does, and that's the problem. If I'm Seattle, I'm not putting myself in a position to mess up what's going on with that offense so far. And Brian is a different situation. For me, I just feel like he's been made a more honest effort to get back to a team. I wouldn't go anywhere near AB personally. Forget the man. Just from a team constitution standpoint, I would not want that guy near my locker.
Right, guys, Sola.
You know what? I completely agree. When I watch Seattle play, you're thinking, you know what? They really could use another diva wide receiver. That's the last thing that they need. Why would they go after a guy like Antonio Brown? And I get it. I think he's getting really good advice because he's maintained a pretty low profile, which he should at this point. He's trying to get back into the league. As for Dez Bryant, I've always had a soft spot for him ever since he made that catch against Green Bay, which wasn't ruled a catch. I think he will give you a sincere effort. I hope he can get back and play again.
For Baltimore right now, should they come to terms? I mean, it has been years since Dez Bryant has played in the NFL at this point. Bob Ryan, can I bring you in here?
You may. And Frank has alluded to the possibility, and I mean very faint, distant possibility, that he has changed. that he could possibly reform himself and bring a sense of responsibility to a team. He is undeniably talented. He's at 31. I'm sure he still remains talented. But is it worth it? He has proven time and again he's not reliable. You invest in him and he breaks your heart. No. Stay away from him. And Seattle, they don't need him at all. No
way. You don't believe Seattle is a Antonio Brown. All this is taking just Antonio Brown, the player, and talking about him and what he was the last time we saw him on the field, which was briefly last year, and then years ago. You don't believe Seattle is an Antonio Brown away from the Super Bowl? You don't believe Baltimore is an Antonio Brown away from the Super Bowl? No, nobody.
Okay. No, I don't think Antonio Brown moves you closer to the Super Bowl. It moves you closer to the headline.
And Tim, I guess it's been, what, about 4 years since Dez Bryant played for the Cowboys?
Maybe not as long as you think. Yeah. It's not nearly as long.
Is it not? Okay, maybe since he was a top 10 receiver in the league. It's been 4 years.
He's not going to be a problem. The problem is, can he play? Can he give you 30 snaps? And can he play down near the goal line? I think he can. I think he can help you a little bit.
We've been Horn taking a break right here. Isola and Ryan and Lee coming up. Oh, tonight, the Mutes will be flying tonight. I'm talking about Carson Wentz and Daniel Jones. Maybe it's going to be first to two fumbles, loses the game. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Swimsuit, check. Sunscreen, check. Phone charger, check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Cleveland Browns, Cincinnati Bengals this week. Baker Mayfield still smarting from Sunday's loss in Pittsburgh. Quote, yeah, I'd say the feeling throughout the building after that loss, 4-2, has never felt so much like 0-6 before. Tim, buy or sell how hard the Browns and Mayfield are taking this loss to Pittsburgh?
I buy it. I think they should. I think a lot of us, I think they thought when they beat Indianapolis the week before, hey, that's a pretty good win. They finally beat somebody, and now they've got to play Pittsburgh, and it looks like the season opener against Baltimore, and they're kind of back where they started.
Right, guys, Sola?
That's their number one rival. Of course, they're going to judge themselves how they do against Pittsburgh, but I think it also shows you how fragile this team is at 4-2. And you had Odell Beckham, getting into on the sideline. Now, what Baker Mayfield said, if you're Kevin Stefanski, it's not a big crisis, but right now you got a mini crisis on your
hands. Bob Ryan?
The Browns are in a peculiar situation in that they are the prisoners of a tortured history, much of which has nothing to do with them. They were supposed to be good last year, and they weren't. They're viewed as a flop. They get off to a good start this year, and now here's the big crucible game, and they flop. And they're not, they don't possess the collective maturity yet, as embodied by their so-called leader quarterback, to handle this properly.
So you don't believe he's handling it properly when he's saying, this was a big loss for us. It feels like we're 0-6, even though we're 4-2. It was their first loss in a month, Clinton Yates. Are they making too much out of one loss?
Yeah, but the two losses have been to division opponents by a total of 60 points. I think what we're realizing here is that the ceiling on Mayfield is closer to, say, I don't know, Andy Dalton than maybe Ben Roethlisberger. And that's what the concern is here, is that maybe this is just not going to work the way that you thought when you got
there. Is this a playoff team around the horn? Tim Kalisha?
Yes, I do think they are the last wild card in the
NFL. Frank Isola?
Yes,
playoff. Bob Ryan?
I see him sneaking in.
Clint Yates?
No.
There we go. There's one. I was about to give a wave of mutilation. You guys could have brought that up earlier, that you all feel they're going in the playoffs. So move on. One reason. I'm looking for one reason to watch Giants-Eagles tonight, the Thursday night game if you simulate the rest of the season, it's still possible four wins the NFC East. Not likely, 20,000 simulations, but there's about a dozen that get you to four wins and you win. So maybe root for that. And if the NFL should rethink this division getting a home game this year for the playoffs, go ahead, Frank Isola.
I'm trying to find a reason. Maybe it's the regression of either quarterback, who's it going to be, Carson Wentz or Daniel Jones. But I'll tell you what, both of them are still in contention to win the division, which is hard to believe. But if I'm the Giants, I got to be really concerned about my quarterback. Carson Wentz, we've seen him do something before. Daniel Jones, let's face it, in 2 years hasn't done anything in the
league. Bob Ryan?
Really hasn't.
Were I a true football junkie or a better, I might have some interest in this game. But what we're talking about here is a battle between the 30th and 31st ranked quarterbacks, one of whom has thrown 9 interceptions, the other who has thrown 6. And maybe you want to see which one falls on his face harder.
Wow, you guys are really loving this game. Clinton Yates, how about you?
Yeah, reason to watch tonight is very simple. World Series off day. However, when it comes to these two quarterbacks, I'll take the guy who's willing to take a couple more risks in Carson Wentz. Jones, this guy doesn't even throw the ball downfield. 5.5 per of his attempts downfield, more than 20 yards. That's only second worst to Drew Brees, and that's not very good. Mm.
Well, the Giants are red hot. That one-game win streak, Tim Kalishaw. Is that a reason
Thank
to watch?
You. Yes, they're trying to be the first team in the East this year to win back-to-back games. That hasn't been done. Eagles trying to go to the playoffs for the fourth year in a row. Don't exactly look like a playoff team, but somebody has to go.
Okay, I thought there was something else after that, but thank you, Tim. Bob, something you want to add?
I had some thoughts, and then I had some, and then they went away. They went away.
There's winning and there's not losing. And the Giants were in the second category last week.
Maybe that's the game. Who does it not lose tonight, Bob Ryan?
Eagles.
All right, we'll move on. Buy or sell three. Big Ten football opens up play this weekend. And Nebraska goes on the road to face Ohio State. You may recall Nebraska and head coach Scott Frost were quite loud in their desire to play football this season, even threatening to leave the conference to play football this season. So, Bob Ryan, buy or sell coincidence that Nebraska's opening up with Ohio State, because Frost seems to think it's a little bit more than that.
I think the new commissioner and his staff has a sense of humor in the Big Ten. They are showing. If you want to play, go ahead, play. This is this 3 straight losing years. You know what this franchise wants? Franchise. This team once went 60-3 over a 5-year period and won 3 national championships. Most people watching this show aren't old enough to remember that.
Okay. But the question is, do you believe it's coincidence they're opening up against Ohio State, or is it no coincidence, like Scott Frost said, Bob?
Oh, I think it's no coincidence.
Okay, you're with Frost here. Isola, how about you?
Oh, absolutely. You wanted football, you get football. And guess what? Someone has to play Ohio State. Yeah. So get them on week one. Maybe you'll catch them when they aren't in rhythm. But chances are, they're going to run right
Tim
over.
Tim Kalishaw.
I don't think it's a coincidence. Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Nebraska, you left the Big 12. You could be hosting the Jayhawks this week. You stuck No, you had to go play in the Big 10. Good luck with that.
Glenn Yates.
Yeah, Scott Frost, one of the chestier guys across college football who hasn't done a whole lot. But once again, ancient African proverb applies. You want to run up, you can get done up. And that's what's about to happen. Ohio State's going to blow them out by 50 points.
Clint Yates, Tim Kalishaw. Well, Clint, you might say this was a garden variety appearance on Around the Horn. Mr. Kalishaw, you might say this was just one of these throwaway Around the Horn appearances, right? Okay. Frank Isola versus Bob Ryan showdown in 2 minutes.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's start showdown with a story about the NBA draft. I'm going to go out on a limb here, Bob. I'm going to say 50 years you've been observing the NBA draft as a reporter. Is that right? 50 years?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Minnesota Timberwolves say there is no clear-cut number one here. Has that happened before, Bob? Have you seen it before? What's the deal with this draft?
Well, we saw it the year Anthony Bennett went number one not too long ago. This is a year when you're hoping that you get, if you're in Minnesota, the phone rings and someone says, you know, we're interested in Mr. X. How would you like to make a deal? They couldn't make it fast enough. This is just one of those
Bob's
deals.
Right. A lot of pressure on Minnesota, but he also knows this, that in every draft there's a gem. Need I remind you, Giannis Antetokounmpo, the 15th overall pick. Kawhi Leonard, the 15th overall pick. Great players in every draft. You just got to find
them. Right. Giannis was 15th in that Anthony Bennett year where he went number one. Point Frank Isola, showdown two. Blue Jays and Buffalo turned out to be a success this year in baseball. Keep that in mind as the Toronto Raptors. Should the NBA next season start and Toronto's not an option? Where should the NBA look to home the Raptors, Bob Ryan? Louisville, Seattle among the options.
Well, Buffalo and Seattle each had their teams taken away unfairly, but I don't know if they'd welcome the NBA back, that being the case. Louisville, however, is a basketball-oriented area, and it could be the next Oklahoma City, and that would be a good thing for the league.
You know, I'd actually heard that Vegas was under consideration, which makes no sense because the Raptors are going to play most of their games against Eastern Conference opponents. If it's not going to be Orlando or Buffalo, what about Puerto Rico? They got a facility. The players are going to like it. The flight's not that far. Put him.
Well, that's extreme Eastern Conference. I like what you're thinking there, Frank, but I'm going to give a point to Louisville as well. We'll move on. Showdown three, Purdue football, appealing to the NCAA to allow Coach Jeff Brohm to communicate with staff remotely as he has to miss this Big Ten opener after his positive COVID test. Should they let him, Frank?
2020, Tony, is all about working remotely. What is the big deal? All the things the NCAA has to worry about. This is something they're going to come down hard on. Let the guy coach the game.
Mm-hmm. Bob?
Ridiculous rule. I don't care if he wants to go by phone or wants to stand on his roof and send a flare up. Yeah, go for it on fourth down. What's the point of telling him he can't do that? None. Ridiculous.
All right, we'll split the point. But before you celebrate Frank Isola, we got time for showdown four, the rare showdown four.
On.
Drew Locke here.
I mean, it's cool to be able to, you know, kind of put the Darth Vader mask on. Know, steer away from Jedi and come to the dark side, so to say, over here in Denver. Kind of like playing that guy and get a win this Sunday and start the rivalry.
All right, Frank, start the rivalry. What do you think of Drew Locke trying to start a rivalry with Patrick Mahomes, doing it through a bunch of attempted Star Wars metaphors?
Drew, Patrick Mahomes is your daddy. Why would you incite Mahomes? If I'm playing defense for the Broncos, I'm like, keep it down. That's not smart.
Bob Ryan?
Would you want a boring press conference? Oh, we play them one at a time, or somebody with a little fun, a little imagination, a little creativity? Oh, absolutely. Drew Locke, you're my new man. I love this stuff.
Yes.
Go for it.
You want guys to answer questions? That's his answer. I don't think you're going to want to hear your answer on playback there, Frank. I still 30 seconds of FaceTime, Bob Ryan.
On the 22nd of October 2001, a new TV show made its birth on this network. Two writers talking, just around talking? Well, that was Tony Kornheiser, Michael Wilbon. That was Pardon the Interruption. And we owe them a great deal of thanks because without them, there's no us. We're a spinoff. Think about it. And we owe them a great deal. And they've got a lot more left in the tank. Go for it, guys. Happy anniversary.
You know, it was actually October 17th. We had a special first. Before we had the first official show on the 22nd. And we're all here. Oh, yes. We are all literally here, myself.
You are.
Because of this. People always ask me, How do they come together? It's this, because they are a married couple. They are my parents. Happy anniversary to my parents. In the history of television debates.
There he is.
It's not easy. We're going to have another example of that tonight. Here's to the greatest debate show in all of TV history.